Yeah, well, thank you. That's a short but powerful scripture, two verses. And I want to speak on that this morning. How many remember what I preached on last week? It's a test. I preached on anxiety, right? So this morning I want to follow up with a sermon on dealing with stress. Seems our society is so stressed out today. Have you ever experienced stress? All the time. So this is for you, Carol, and for me and for everybody else. You know, if you followed my preaching over the months or even this whole past year, I've preached on topics of encouragement. Last week I preached on anxiety and patience and worry and overcoming failure. Controlling our anger, which is another one I did. Anybody have anger problems? Don't raise your hand. Maintaining joy in all circumstances, knowing who we are in Christ. I did a sermon on overcoming trials that confront us. Just out of nowhere, sometimes we're blindsided by a trial, and it hits us and it disables us for a moment. You see, there's a method to my madness. And there's also something about God's awesomeness and why I've chosen to take such a direction in my preaching. He wants us to be whole. Why? He wants us to be strengthened. Why? He wants us to be encouraged. Why? Because he wants us to not only be whole as an individual, but to help others reach such a place when they're going through all kinds of trials in their lives. Now, I don't have, my screen's not working up there, so you're going to have to let me know if the slide that I'm trying to show is up there. It is. Stress. Okay. So this morning, I want to talk on this topic of stress. Stress, that emotional state that all of us deal with on an ongoing basis. Sometimes it comes in an awesome way, other times it's minor stress. But I just don't want to talk about stress this morning because I think you have enough of it in your lives. I want to really talk about how we could deal with it biblically to help reduce that state of stress. How we could confront stress to ease its effect on us on a regular basis. You know, there's things called good stress. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but athletes deal with good stress. Let's say in the Super Bowl, for example, and they're behind 6 points, and there's the stress on this running back to score that touchdown, and then for the kicker to make that field goal so that they could win the Super Bowl. A lot of stress, but it's good stress. It's motivating stress. It's something that equips us to take on a challenge. And I have that stress in my life. I don't see it as bad stress. I see it more as fuel to keep me going to accomplish something. That's okay. But what about negative stress? What about what we call bad stress that could have a devastating effect on our physical, our emotional, and even our spiritual well-being? You know, a person reaches a point, did the slide advance? Okay. A person reaches a point when his or her brain screams out, "Help! I'm on overload. I can't take any more stress." I used this example once in a sermon a couple of years ago. How many remember the Roberto Duran fight? He was so frustrated that he said, "No mas, I had enough." And he walked out of the ring. He just said, "That's it. I can't get past this guy, Sugar Ray Leonard. He's too fast. He's like a miniature Muhammad Ali." And he got so stressed out, he walked out of the ring and he said, "No mas." Now, perhaps each of us have experienced this kind of stress one time or another. But if psychologists and sociologists are correct in their assessments, and I presume they are, it's happening more frequently with more people today on a consistent basis than perhaps any other time before. I had mentioned 24/7 news coming into our homes, on our car radios, constant stuff, negativity, and people are feeling stressed more and more today. Companies are asking for more with less. I have friends that work in IBM, and they tell me they've cut down some staff in their departments, but they're requiring for the existing workers to make up for the loss of personnel. And so there's stress. I want to give you an example this morning. Let me just read this little story to you. There was a woman who took her husband to the doctor's office, and he was hard of hearing. And after the checkup, the doctor said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious infection." The husband said to the wife, "What'd he say?" The wife said, "You're sick." The doctor continued, "But there's hope. You just need to reduce his stress level. Each morning, give him a healthy breakfast. Be patient, nice and kind. For lunch and dinner, make him his favorite meal. Don't discuss your problems with him. And most importantly, just cater to your husband's every whim. If you could do this for your husband for the next 6 months or a year, I think your husband will have a complete recovery." The husband said, "What did he say?" And the wife said, "You're going to die." As a husband, I like that prescription. But my wife would say, "We got a problem with this." Stress. Yeah, we can reduce stress by being pampered and all that other. It ain't going to happen. Just forget about it, guys. All right? Just file that one away. There are a lot of things that can cause stress in our lives. Oh, the scenarios are unlimitless. I mean, too much month left in our paycheck, looking in your rearview mirror and seeing red lights. This is a funny story. I have a niece. She's hard of hearing. She got stopped on the Long Island Expressway, not Maria. You know Maria. And the cop walked up to her and she said, "I'm deaf." And he said, "Are you blind also?" "I've been following you for 3 exits with my lights on." And so I said, "Cindy, did you get the ticket?" She goes, "Yes." Challenges with your children, maybe grandchildren, perhaps there's some marital stress, maybe children stressed out by their parents. It goes both ways. Extreme pressures on the job, timelines, deadlines, all these kinds of things that could sow into our lives this kind of stress. You see, it's not a matter if we're going to be stressed out. It's a matter of when we're going to be stressed out, because it will come. Experiencing stress does not make you less spiritual or less faithful. Because I know you'll hear some preachers say, "Man, if you're stressed out, then you're not walking true with God." Well, okay. I don't buy that at all. We just need to be honest. We need to remove our spiritual masks and be honest and say, "You know what? I'm going through a tough time." And we all do. Negative stress always has a negative effect on our lives. Let me give you an example. It affects our emotions. It could make us angry. It could make us fearful. It could make us depressed. It could even make us irritable, where we may do and say things that we never meant to say or do, and we'll just sort of let it go, because emotionally we're all charged. And let me tell you something, we'll usually unload on the people closest to us and who love us the most. Our spouses, our kids, our dog. We just kind of pick on those who are closest to us. We've got to be careful about that. Excessive negative stress could really play havoc on our emotions. Stress could also play havoc on our body, our physical well-being. It could cause a breakdown in our well-being, our health. We might find that we have more colds or whatever. When we are stressed out, a knot develops in the pit of our stomach. You're depleted of energy that you need to stay healthy. You might find that you're unable to sleep well at night. You might experience headaches or back pain, or blood pressure may go up when you go to the doctor's office. You may become depressed. Sometimes one could develop ulcers or heart disease, and doctors have even said that stress could bring on cancer. Think about that. It could trigger something in us. So it could have an effect emotionally, and it could have an effect physically on our bodies. Stress can also affect our spiritual lives. People who are stressed out oftentimes feel that their faith is being challenged. And they may even ask, where is God in the midst of my stress? I was reading Job this morning, and all of it's an interesting book, and I'm glad I finished it today. It could be depressing reading it, but Job stayed steadfast in his faith in the midst of all of these trials. And sometimes when stress works its way into our lives, sometimes we say, you know what, I don't feel like worshiping this morning. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to that Bible study. I'm not going to go to that prayer meeting. And I would encourage you that when you're stressed out and you got that going in your life, the first place you need to run to is a prayer meeting, a Bible study, worship. I'm telling you, because I have found every time that I'm under such a stress condition, especially when I was a layperson, I wasn't a pastor, but I even experienced it as a pastor, that on that particular day, God would speak something into me that I needed to hear to get me above my circumstances. Have you ever had that happen to you? Amen. Something was just said, maybe it would, is something the choir did, or a hymn you sang, or the scripture verse that was read, or what the pastor preached on. I just want to encourage you, not discourage you. I want to let you know that Christians can get stressed out like anybody else. It does not mean that we lack faith. It just means that we're real, we're human, we've got nerves, we've got all kinds of things, emotions, we're just real people, and sometimes it will affect us. All throughout the Bible, we see biblical examples of stress. I want to ask you a question. Do you think Daniel felt a little bit of stress in that lion's den? I mean, if I'm looking at some lions that are hungry, I love you, Lord, but it looks like I'm going to be somebody's lunch today. Or what about Esther, who had the stress of a nation on her shoulders to go before a king representing her people, which could have cost her her life? I'm sure she was nervous, even though she was faithful and she trusted in God. What about Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own brothers? And then when he got to Egypt, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he was thrown in prison for something he didn't do. I would imagine as he languished in that jail cell, even though he was a great man of faith, I would imagine he had stress about being there. David lived under constant stress. Paul lived under constant stress. If you don't believe me, just read the book of Acts. You'll see all the things that Paul had to go through. So these are hardcore, deep, spiritual men and women of the faith in our Bible, and yet they too experienced stress in their lives. And yet Paul was able to write what was just read by Barbara. He was able to write these words: "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned by my God. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. I may be down, but I'm getting up before the count of 10. Amen. I'm going to get into that next round. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to run the good race. That is what Paul was all about. You know, Paul said, the very things I should do, I don't. The very things I don't do, I should do. He was always constantly struggling in his life, but he kept the faith. He kept the faith. And then Jesus told his disciples this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I've overcome what you're facing. I know you're troubled. And in fact, if you translate the Greek word for trouble, it means difficulty, pressure, or under a lot of stress. And he was telling his disciples, just before he left them, he says, you're going to face a lot of stress in your ministry, guys, but I'm telling you, I've overcome the stress and troubles of this world. It's a beautiful affirmation. We all know what stress is, but how do we appropriately deal with it? I've described stress to you. That's great. So I'm going to end the sermon right now and say, deal with it. No, we got a solution.
We got Jesus.
We got Jesus. Amen. That's all we need. We need to look at our situation from God's perspective. Here's the rub. We're often so close to what's causing our stress, we can't see God in the midst of it. We can't see God's perspective because it's right up front and close, and it's personal. Stress will often shut God out of our lives many times. We're so stressed out, we can't even pray. But here's the good news. If God can meticulously assign every star in the heavens in our universe, he could know about the stress we're going through and deal with it. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a God who's able. Our God is a God who's available when we're going through stuff. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. That's the God we serve. We need to take on God's perspective of the situation we're going through. Sure, we can take everything into our own hands. I've done it. I don't know if you have. I've tried all the solutions. Try to solve everything with my own strength, my own ability, my own resources, my own knowledge. Strike back at somebody maybe that I shouldn't have. Run the tape over and over in our heads. What's stressing us out as we're driving, working, at home, lying down at night, getting up in the morning? Don't do that. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8:28, he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Think about that for a moment. We know that in all things, in all stressful situations, God works for the good of those who love him. Do you love God?
Amen.
I love God. It's going to work out. There was a song back in the 60s, We Can Work It Out. That's God singing that song to you. We can work this out. This must be done by faith, not by sight. Don't look at the circumstances and just stop there. We got to have the faith that no matter what's going on right now, with me and God in partnership, we could make this work. Maybe we can't see the heart of God, the hand of God, but we could certainly know the heart of God, and God wishes us good. And so we need to look at the situation from God's perspective. Now, let's face it, stress usually feels like we are out on the high seas, like we're in a storm. During a turbulent storm, how many people like the program The Deadliest Catch? Let me see. Have you ever watched it on Discovery Channel? I love that thing, man. You know why? Because I hate being on boats. I like being on cruise ships where you go up and eat whenever you want, go see a show, look at art, lectures. That doesn't happen on The Deadliest Catch. They don't have 24-hour food service. And I watch this show, and I am truly amazed. I am amazed how they can operate with waves breaking over the top of the deck of the ship, and they're still crabbing. I mean, I get sick in a bathtub. I'm looking at these guys, and they're joking, and I'm going, oh, my goodness. They would throw me overboard the minute they left port. The waves that hit these guys are like six-story buildings while their boat bobs up and down like a cork in the middle of the ocean. And I thought sometimes our lives are like those fishing boats depicted in The Deadliest Catch. It seems like our whole life is out of control. We're on this turbulent sea, and we're getting buffeted from the left and the right, and it doesn't seem like there's any break in sight. And that's why, secondly, we need to allow our faith in God to be our anchor that holds us steady during the storm. We need an anchor to root us during the storm so we don't get smashed into pieces on the rocks. The writers of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, is that up there? It is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And you know what the analogy is? That if a ship is at the sea's mercy, if you have an anchor holding you firm, it's going to keep you safe from being pushed up and buffeted on the rocks that will destroy you. Our anchor is Jesus Christ. He will anchor us in our faith in times of turbulent troubles. God as our anchor helps us not to be at the mercy of our circumstances and our stress. When we trust in the Lord, we trust that He could bring order out of chaos in our lives. Has your life ever been chaotic? Wait till April 15th comes around. And you're looking and saying, looks like Sam's going to get a lot of my money. Stress. We may feel the effect of the storm, but the storm will not cause us to be adrift and will not allow us to be destroyed. Remember what Paul said in our main text that Barbara read. Hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Why? Because we're anchored in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You see, God is telling us that we will face stressful circumstances. He told His disciples, you're going to face these trials. You're not immune from it simply because you're a disciple or an apostle or because you have faith in me. You're going to face these trials. Be aware of that. And that's why in Isaiah, I love this scripture in Isaiah. I hope it's up there, 43:2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fires, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Notice he doesn't say if. He says when you go through these things. You're going to go through them, but I'm there and I'm with you. I'll get you through it. It's not a matter of if, it's when. Thirdly, we need to stop carrying our heavy load and God's as well. Have you ever tried to do work for God like God doesn't know what He's doing? You know, it's like God in the middle of my prayer time goes, Chuck, could you help me out? I don't know what to do, but I think you do. And then I tell God, yeah, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't work that way, folks. We try to carry His load and our load at the same time. And when we do, we're saying that God's not big enough to handle the stress in our lives. Lord, I can't handle this alone. It's too big for me, should be our prayer. I need Your help. Break into my life, Lord, because I've tried everything and it's not working. We need to realize what our limits are. There are certain things we just cannot carry out on our own, church. We can't do it. Now this one's going to kind of annoy you a little bit. You ready to be annoyed?
Sure.
I like annoying the church. I like annoying the church because it pushes us out of our comfort zone. So here we go. No emails tomorrow. All right? Sometimes it's self-inflicted.
Amen.
It really is. Now, we're going to blame everybody. My mother-in-law, we're going to blame the boss. We're going to blame the dog, the kids, the neighbor. Some of you are saying, you're meddling with me now, Pastor. Some of us are just poor managers of our time. I shared this last week, if you remember. The sermon is on the internet. If you missed it, just go there and listen to it. Some people may have more money. Some people may have more influence. Some people may have a bigger title than we are. But let me tell you something. As I said last week, we're all given 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour. We're on an even playing field. The rich, middle class, the poor, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be Queen Elizabeth. It doesn't matter. You only got 24 hours. The playing field is even. We either procrastinate putting things off for the last minute. And you know something I don't understand? Because this drives me crazy, and there's some people in my family that do this to me. You didn't hear that. They leave the last minute, and then they do 100 miles an hour to get to that appointment. That is the definition of insanity. Why not leave early? Put some nice music on the radio, take a nice cruise to your appointment, and get there 15 minutes early. And then you won't be stressed out. Now, when other people cause you to drive 100 miles an hour, you're not only stressed out with being late to that appointment, but you're stressed out with the person sitting next to you. Leave on time. Break things down in your schedule. What do I mean? Things I must do, things I should do, and things I can do. The must-do things got to be done today. Listen, put that as a priority on your schedule. This has got to be done today. This gets a priority. I deal with it. Secondly, these are things I should do, but I'm not going to do them over the things I must do. I may get it done today, but I'm going to be seriously working on it. And then the things that I can do are going to get our attention eventually, but they're not a priority of must and should. And so you lay out this plan for the day of what you're going to do, and you check it off, and then you start to feel good. You say, boy, I did that. I called this guy. I made out this form, and I sent it out today. I mailed it. And you know, by the end of the day, you feel good about what you've accomplished. The stress level is going to be lessened. If we prioritize our lives, I'm telling you, we'll have less stress in our lives. And just a footnote, include in your schedule some relaxation time. Relax once in a while. Some people, I hear them, especially people in the business world, I'm too busy to relax. Nonsense. Take some time out and just chill out. Do something you enjoy doing. And lastly, and this is important, be filled by and guided by the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit to not only comfort you in your time of stress, but ask the Holy Spirit to control your feelings, your emotions, and to guide and direct you in the path that you should go. Ask him to provide you with the strength and the wisdom. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom that the world can't give. The Holy Spirit will give you stuff from Scripture that will make your life a whole lot easier than mine. I love what the great Christian writer Oswald Chambers, and I quoted him a couple of weeks ago. He said, let God engineer your life. Let God engineer your life. And so Paul reminds us this morning, church, we're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Mind you, this was a guy who had so much stress in his own life, and he writes these words. So how can we lessen the stress in our life? It's up there. Take God's perspective. Let our faith in God be our anchor in the midst of the storm. Stop trying to carry your load and God's load at the same time. Yes, we may even have to own up to poor time management in the way we conduct our lives every day. And very importantly, let us allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, strengthen us, guide us, and even comfort us in the midst of our stress. Let's do that today. Let's start that plan today, preventing stress from getting on our nerves and disabling us. It can be done. It will be done. It must be done in order to be that shining light in the world in which we live. And so, Father, I pray a prayer. We're all stressed out. I would imagine in the congregation this morning, there are some folks who came to church this morning feeling very stressed over a situation, a circumstance, a trial, a challenge, something that's going on in his or her life. You understand that. It's not unusual or abnormal. But I do pray, Lord God, that you would help ease the stress in our lives today so that we can get above our circumstances, that we can anchor ourselves in the midst of the storm we're facing, that we can trust in you, that you've got our back, that your Holy Spirit will guide us. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.